Hi guys, welcome to Threads Podcast, Life Unfiltered. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for episode 144, mainly mental health bucket. That's what Ben wrote on the title. So that's, I'm like Ron Burgundy. I read whatever's in front of me. So wherever you're listening, we really appreciate you guys. And before we jump into the mainly mental health bucket, Ben's going to tell us what Threads Podcast is all about, and then we'll introduce our guest.
Well, Threads is mainly about mental health and faith and uncomfortable conversations. This is a show where it's okay for us to talk about things that are difficult to address, things that might be taboo otherwise. We really want to create a space where it's okay to talk about the things that are tough in life and not just about the things that we like to put on social media to make our life look perfect. We want to talk about the opposite stuff too. As we do that, we tend to focus a lot on mental health, and you'll probably hear that tonight. And as we go through all of these conversations, our main intent is to find those threads that tie us all together. Instead of focusing on all the things that separate us and divide us and pull us apart, this is a space where we can be real and also find those connections that exist between us. And that is what Threads is all about.
Thank you, Ben.
Mainly
all about. So tonight we have Megan Deneff in to record on Sunday night. And we go way back, but we were never close. Mm-hmm. She's been on the show before. So if you've been a long time Thready, I couldn't tell you what episode it is. A good host would have looked that up and to reference it, but Ben will probably look it up for me. But you've been on before. Mm-hmm. We grew up together. What do you like? Well, you're not supposed to ask a woman. What year did you graduate high school?
2002.
Okay.
Yay.
So you're 8 years. Well, that disproves how old you are, but whatever. I graduated in 94. So we didn't really ever know each other.
No.
We lived two doors down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two doors down. So yeah, good old neighborhood. And you live pretty close. You're real close to your parents.
I am. My kids go to the elementary school I went to. So we're just right around the corner. Yeah.
All right.
So
very cool.
I enjoy the neighborhood.
Yes. Nice. I enjoyed parts of it when I was growing up. And so, yeah, you work for Irvine's and mm-hmm. you have two kids and a husband.
Mm-hmm.
Husband Brian works from home.
Yep.
Still, right?
Yes. Okay. And he has even before COVID.
Yeah.
So that was a normal thing for us.
Yeah, that was a normal thing. I don't know how he does that, by the way. Like, I mean, I know you probably couldn't stay home.
That would drive me nuts.
Yeah.
I need to see people.
Right. Yeah. Me too. I'm kind of the same way. So we wanted to bring you on just to kind of talk a little bit about mental health. And that's something that you and I have connected over the last, I don't know, 2 years. We've probably talked more about that than anything else. And mm-hmm. your business sponsors our other show. We probably talked more about mental health than the other part of it, which whatever, like it's totally fine. But before we jump into the interview, we'd like to just do an icebreaker. So how is everyone showing up tonight? Ben, I'm going to let you go first. You've had a crazy busy weekend. How are you showing up?
I think it's the same answer I gave last week. I'm tired. Weekends have become like these 3 days where I have so much going on, and then I look forward to the week so I can kind of chill out and calm down. So I've just got too much going on. I'm in an improv class. I've been hitting up both services at church because apparently I'm just so holy. I don't know. And then add into that just family stuff and late night last night with our guest from last week, Stefan, my son. Yeah.
Did you see my blank? I'm like, who are you partying with? Right.
It's been a weekend and I'm tired, but I'm trying to rally. So that's how I'm showing up.
What about you, Megan?
I'm tired too. And I don't enjoy Sunday nights typically. So it was nice to have things switched up for me.
Yeah. Do you get the Sunday blues of like, it's back to the grind?
Or like the Sunday scaries,
call it? The scaries, yeah.
There's nothing scary about what's happening in this next week. It's normal. But it's just like the mental load of what's happening in the next week.
As everyone uses planners, they're great. But when you look at them for your week, you're like, sweet Jesus, mm-hmm. like this is so much I have to pack in. And then we're gone on the weekend for the holiday. So I'm like, I got to pack all this in Monday through Wednesday or half a Thursday. And you're just like, ah.
Yeah. So I, Sunday scaries, but we had baseball earlier today. I got my groceries ordered as I'm scrolling through and picking replacements while we're sitting here. I'm sorry, but it multitasking. Yesterday we had a really fun work event. We went on the Grand Lady with everybody and their parents from work.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like it was everybody. And it was one of our guys really wanted to go. And I was like, the Grand Lady sucks.
Really?
But we went and there was a band and beer. Isn't that and
like the steamboat?
Yeah.
Or not? It's a boat that just goes
it's
down.
The river boat, the big okay. two-story one.
Why'd you say it sucks? Like,
because last time it did, but this time there was like good drinks and they had the bar open. So it was a little bit more fun. And, you know, being with our coworkers, we don't really see each other outside of work often. So that was really fun.
I appreciate, I assume you guys are good bosses, your mom and dad.
I was going to say, I am not, but they are. But I mean, great.
Yeah. It's so refreshing to have someone that cares for you and pays you what you're valued and doesn't have to work, you know, 60 hours a week and those kind of things. So
yeah, it's a good, I think it's a great place to work. I have a little more flexibility than everybody else, but
yeah, of course.
We just had a new guy start with us. His name is Towner. They moved from Bellingham, Washington to Michigan without ever being here.
What?
To take this job?
No.
Oh, just okay. They were just like an adventure.
An adventure. Wow. And they moved here. And so like his family, like he and his wife are here with their two kids and her mom happened to be here. So she came and just everybody was together and it was really nice.
Very cool.
So
maybe we should do that. It's probably all end of season though, right? I wonder if they do them into September. Sorry, the riverboat.
Oh,
I got
sure
a little bit of ADD
could.
Too.
They
you know?
Do it all the time. So
yeah. I mean, if they got drinks, I'm down. Like,
right?
You know, cocktails or whatever.
I mean, the band was kind of like, but
what
like,
kind of
it wasn't
music?
Great.
Like 80s or?
Like older music, but it was fine. No, I would say older than 80s.
Okay, thank you.
No. I like 80s.
Yes, 80s are amazing.
A little bit older than that, but it was still good. It fit. Everybody was happy. The kids were all happy. So
good.
Yeah.
All right. And then I'm showing up tonight. I'm feeling okay, other than I got stung by a yellow jackets on Friday night. I have every year in August, I'll get a ground nest on my hill. It's not even that big of a hill. It's out there in the back. And it was right next to the grass and to the edge of the grass. And usually I see him, you know, coming. Did not see him. Got hit in the like in the shin bone right here. And then I started running because like I didn't know where the nest was. Like normally if I can assess it, I would just step away from the nest. I mean, I got the one in my shin and just let go of the mower and ran. And then another one got me in the back of my calf on the other side.
Ouch.
They are still incredibly itchy. It's been over 48 hours. I don't know what to do. I've taken Benadryl. I put cream on it. Like right now, they are incredibly itchy, both legs. And so it's annoying as hell.
Awful.
I've apparently never been stung by yellow jackets before because I don't remember it being this. It's not painful. I mean, it was painful when it happened.
Right.
I mean,
especially that shin.
No kidding.
I went out 1 minute later and continued to mow. No, not that spot. It is unmowed right now. Tomorrow, they will be dying. So enjoy your last night of living. Right.
Now, do you pour gas on it and let the hill on fire? Because I feel like maybe we should do that tonight while they're sleeping.
If I didn't work for a company that does pest control for wasps, I probably would. But I will be spraying something down there and they will be all dead.
Nice.
So, yeah, that is how I'm coming in. But, yeah, it's been a long weekend. Did my long run yesterday, 9 miles. Jason Jason, third person talking here. Our buddy Mike and I are going to run a half marathon this fall. So, yep, it was a long 9 miles.
Yeah.
Especially in this heat. How early did you go?
I started at 6:50. So, but I mean, when I got done, everything was wet. I just combed home and stripped it all off and threw it in the washer. So,
oh, yeah.
And then he went for like a 50-mile bike ride last night and same thing.
5:0?
No,
15.
Oh.
Yeah. It was brutal. Usually there's like a ton of people on the trail, but not last night. It was me and maybe 5 other people that I encountered. So introvert me loved it, but sweaty me did not.
This guy's a psycho on the bike. We've gone one time. he almost ran this old lady over. Like, there was, like, traffic coming. And instead of him just, you know, I don't know, slowing down, he, like, books around her. She rings her bell like she was mad. I was like, who is this guy? This is something I would do. And he's just like,
well, I've got this all-terrain bike. Like, I can go anywhere. So I do. Like, I'll just buzz around people. I'll go off on the shoulder of the trail on the grass.
Oh, this was, like, 10 feet from the river. You were, like, hauling ass.
But it was awesome. But yeah. Well, the last question that I have, we did something that was a first, and that was bringing on a minor onto our show who actually ended up having more of a potty mouth than you did, which was something.
Yeah. How did you feel when you said dick?
I laughed. I thought it was appropriate.
I mean, he's almost 16. It's true. Like, you know, he talks like that.
Oh, I hear him when he's gaming. So that.
I wouldn't let that happen, although I do. I swear too. But it'd be weird as a 15-year-old to be swearing when he's in your basement or it's wherever he games. But that's just me.
Yeah. So it was a first because he's a minor. And also, it's the first time we had a kid, like one of our kids on the show.
Well, kid in general.
Kid in general, yeah. And I thought it was, going into it, I was like, this is either going to be awful or it's going to be great. And I didn't quite know what to expect. So I just thought, based on it being so new, I figured I'd get you guys' input. How did you think that episode was?
She probably hasn't listened to it yet.
No, actually I did.
Oh.
I'm usually behind, but I'm trying to be better since I miss big life things.
Yeah, she found out that she met or talked to my sister. I'm like, I don't know. What did she say that? Oh, no. Was it the COVID? No.
Yeah, I was supposed to go to your brother's house tonight, but he got COVID. And she was like, what? And I was like, oh, you guys aren't talking to each other. But I hadn't been caught up on all the episodes to know. Like, I knew where we were. And then.
Yeah.
And it's just so.
Then I must have just gave you the information about my dad then, right?
Well, I had found a lot of it out earlier, but like I didn't know where everybody stood like as of 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then I got anxiety and was like, Jason, I'm so sorry. I told your sister you had COVID.
Dude, I don't care. Like, even if it was my other sister who I am pretty much on the despise level right now. I would have been fine with that. I'm not like that.
Well, I just still felt like, I was like,
As a human, you would feel bad. Yeah. I mean, doesn't matter.
Yeah. But, Megan actually texted me, which is why I put this on the rundown, because I thought her comment was hilarious.
Yeah. Wait,
what? Oh, sorry. I thought my sister, Megan. So anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, because I was like, man, I kind of want to be friends with your kid. He's he seems so much cooler than me.
Really?
Listen, I don't even know if I've ever actually, I cannot picture him in my brain. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe if I saw him, I'd be like, no way, I'm way cooler. But just the way that he was talking, he was able drink. To, well, so could he.
That's true. Don't give him any ideas.
Right.
Just the way he was able to have conversations and seemed very confident in the things he was saying. I was like, oh, dang, this kid's cool.
Yeah, he hung pretty well. He has an accent. Got this. It sounds a little gang-like.
Yep. That's how he talks with his friends.
Okay.
He pulled it out on the show. Okay. I heard it, too.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring it up.
Yeah, it is almost like a gang thing, like a tough guy. Like,
yeah.
Just the way he says certain phrases, it's like he's from the street or something.
Yes, and I was like, there's no way he talks to his dad like this in real time.
No, he doesn't.
I mean, I thought that was funny, but no, it was a great show. I was very impressed of how... I was worried about the yes, no answers.
Right.
I was just like, oh, man, Ben, it's going to be rough. But he came. He did exactly what we wanted him to do. And it was a good show.
It was. Yeah, I agree. Well, let's jump into tonight's episode. So when I heard that Megan was coming on the show, I was stoked. And there's a big reason for that. Back in June, Jason and I had a moment, pretty crucial moment in the life of Threads.
Well, we may have had we have lots of moments together.
This is true. This is
we're always fighting.
Very true. It's like we are the opposite of each other in a lot of ways, but then there's also areas where we think alike. And so, needless to say, we end up butting heads more often than maybe we should, but we always find our way through our differences, which is refreshing. But in June, there was probably some stuff going on between Jason and I, I'm sure, But there was also this level of maybe dissatisfaction. Like, why are we doing this every week? Nobody's reaching out. Is this even moving the needle for anybody? Who's listening? Like, we have offered free dinner if you write a review, and nobody's biting. It's like we're talking into this echo chamber, and it's so frustrating. And so yeah. I was ready to quit. I think Jason was.
Just to pull the curtain back, podcasting has no, you get no feedback. And it's not just us. Obviously, if you're a higher level like Zane and stuff, you get, you get the groupies and stuff and that give feedback. But it's just, people just don't do that. People like to lurk behind the episodes and listen. And that's kind of where we were at. We're like, is anything happening? Hello, is this thing on, basically?
Yeah. And then we're questioning whether this thing is on, and Megan reaches out to Jason with this amazing text of, your show, like, is doing something for me, and I'm doing a terrible job of paraphrasing it, but I'll hand it over to Megan to kind of tell us the in-between that I'm missing. But for that message to come through at that point in time, it was so encouraging. And there's just people in life who you meet once or twice, or maybe it's people who just randomly pop in your life, or maybe it's even people you know your entire life. But just to have somebody, regardless of depth of relationship, that offers encouragement, I feel like it's so rare. And when you offered those words of encouragement, I was just like, all right, I'm good to go for a while now. There are people listening. This isn't just some echo chamber. Is this thing on? Like, okay, this is actually making a difference. So,
I remember the lawn I was at. I remember the street I was on. And I have a terrible... I was on Maple Lawn Street. It is a court. I can picture the house because him and I had been messaging like 20 minutes before that. And then I pulled up to park and you sent that text. I'm like, dude, check this out. Like, it was so... It was so impactful. It meant so much. Yeah. I mean, you can say what you said on the text. I don't remember.
My I don't have a clue what it said.
Yeah, I have my phone off. I don't know. I could turn. But it was just about you and your husband and, mm-hmm. and how hard this can be and you know, mental health in general. So that was the gist of it. So,
well, I'm glad that it hit when it did.
Oh,
I was standing. I know I was at work and yeah. I was listening to something, and life just has not been easy for anybody since the last time I was here.
Right.
I think maybe I was here in February.
You were.
I think it was February 2020.
It was.
Before the like a month before the pandemic?
It was February 7, 2020, right before the world went to shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, and at that time, you guys were like, get in therapy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, meh, it's fine.
Yeah, whatever.
And then Jason every once in a while would check in. Hey, how's it going? But... anyways, I know we're going to go through everything, but I don't remember what I said in that text message. I have been trying to be mindful of when I think of someone or when something is making a difference to stop what I'm doing and send a text. Because if I think I'm going to send a card, I'm never going to do it. There's no chance. I'm never going to do it.
That's such a good philosophy to try to. If you feel it, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, within reason. But I mean, but I totally get that. If you don't do it in the time, you won't do it.
Right.
And then you'll be pissed. At 2 weeks later, you'll see a text thread and you'll be like, oh my gosh, why didn't I send that when I was thinking about them?
Right. And I just think, you know, it would be more impactful to me if someone was like, hey, Megan, da, 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 da. I was thinking of you because of this. So obviously that was meant to be sent to you when it was meant to be sent to you. So
it was impactful because I struggle with those quote unquote God moments. And Ben and I always go back and forth, and I always do the example, is there God in this water bottle? And Ben's like, yes. And I'm like, you're stupid. No, I'm just kidding. Like, he made the people that made the plastic, and he put the things in the earth and whatever.
Jesus is the living water.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is holy water here. Okay. So it felt like a God moment to me, and I actually said that to him because it did. I mean, it was just like, no, we weren't going to probably dissolve in that moment. But it was just...
I think we were closer than we ever were before.
Yeah, and I want people to listen that when you hear this, it doesn't mean that we're constantly thinking of quitting. It's just, it's a lot of work.
It is.
You know what I mean? And we don't do it because we want to be, I mean, I guess if Spotify said we'll pay $100,000 for the show, I mean, I wouldn't say no, but
sure.
But we do it because Ben and I, it's been huge for us just talking about, you know, mental health in general. Mm-hmm. Ben's almost ready to be a quitter, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But why don't you talk about a little bit about your mental health journey?
My journey.
Your mental health trip with you, maybe with your whatever you want to share as far as with Brian and those kind of things, because Megan and I are going to counseling together, too. So my Megan.
Yeah.
For
not
people
us.
That are. I have a sister, Megan, friend, Megan, wife, Megan, friend and sister spelled the same. Mine doesn't. So not that that matters. But anyways.
Ours are spelled the right name.
Oh,
right,
whatever.
Yeah. So I was diagnosed with ADHD in seventh grade. So I think that could probably be like where I start my mental health journey. Mm-hmm. And it is something that I've fully circled back on, especially in the past year and a half.
For obvious reasons.
Well, just paying attention to it and realizing why things are the way they are in my brain.
Yeah.
Why I function the way that I do. But so starting in seventh grade, went on meds. That was good. I think my mom had me in therapy for a while. And I know she went because she felt so guilty about not knowing that I had it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was all good through high school. I had my first panic attack probably when I was a senior in high school. Got on Lexapro. It was brand new then.
Mm.
Yes. And then I kind of rode the Lexapro train through college. I dropped out of college to have a quick little stay at Pine Rest.
Mm-hmm.
And then Holland Hospital. So went on a lot of meds, probably more than I should have been on. Came back off them and got to reclaim my life, which was, I feel like, a God thing truly, because as soon as I was out of the hospital and I was able to go, my mom and dad let me, because I was 20 something years old, and they had to let me leave and go visit my best friend Katie in Indianapolis, where I met Brian.
Yeah, I remember the story. Yeah. It was at a bar, just a random thing.
It was church, if my dad asks.
Sorry, Dad.
No, it was a bar. And
a church with alcohol for communion.
Well, you mean every Catholic church then?
The good ones.
They probably don't do that anymore, do they? Or do they?
Oh, they have
to. So the old school ones probably do?
Aren't they all old school?
No, but like Zane's, they don't do that.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's all. Anyway, sorry. Didn't mean to.
Rabbit, squirrel.
I'll jump right on that train. I know. It's fine.
I know.
So let's see. So after I met Brian, was coming off meds still because I was on so many. And when we met, I told him everything up front. Like, it was instant. I let it
connected.
All out. Yeah. And he kind of told me some of his shit, too.
Yeah.
Oh, can we say shit?
Yes.
You can say shit.
Okay.
You can say whatever you want. I will beep the F word, though. Okay. I mean, you'll still know it's there.
If Stefan says dick, you can say shit.
Well.
So. I pretty much say everything. Well, not everything.
Got it.
Yeah, the basics.
And then we ended up getting married. I moved to Indianapolis for a while. Things were rocky. My mental health was not great. And I got pregnant with Bryson, with our oldest, and things really evened out for me. And my mental health was good without meds for a good chunk of time.
From after you had Bryson?
Like, when I was pregnant, I went off my meds.
See, usually it's the opposite. People like have a kid to like fix stuff and it makes it 10 times worse. But
no,
I know that's not why you did it.
No, but. Just like my anxiety. Like, I feel like I probably had kind of higher anxiety about being pregnant and like things that could happen than other people do. Mm. But even until Hayden, my daughter, after she was born, I was probably good. Like, my anxiety and depression stuff was gone for probably 3 or 4 years.
Do you think it's because you were so busy with kids that you didn't have time to really think about it?
I wonder if it was hormone related.
Mm.
I really do.
Could be.
So I don't have a clue.
Mm.
But I went back on meds and then had a hysterectomy. So more hormone stuff.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to be it then.
Well, yeah. So I had the hysterectomy in December of 2018.
Okay.
So now things I feel like are kind of evening out in my body. It's been long enough.
Right.
It should be evened out at this point, but who knows?
Yeah.
And things just kind of started spiraling with panic attacks and stuff. And I was doing pretty good. Only every now and then and like intrusive thoughts. But COVID hit. Mm. And I think that everybody's mental health just took a nosedive. My aunt passed away in November from COVID, which was awful. And that kind of threw Brian for a loop.
With your aunt passing away, or
I think I don't. He was up for a med change. I talked to him a little bit about what I was allowed to talk about with him. Obviously, good. I'm not going to go. Sure. Into
Very
his,
good idea.
I'm not going to go into his story, but he needed a med change, and yeah. I think that was kind of the kick in the ass that he needed to do it. So he had a really rough couple months, and I think that's kind of like where it started. Mm-hmm. So we both got a hold of our mental health in that time in a big way because we didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
So I was kind of in survival mode, and honestly, so was he, in a whole different, like, he just needed to get back on meds and have him work in his body. So we kind of got to walk hand in hand through that, even though neither one of us wanted to be doing it.
Right.
Mm. So during that situation, Brian was seeing all of, sorry, I'm going on Brian's story, but they're just so intertwined at this point.
No, that makes sense.
Brian was seeing his therapist through Pine Rest, and he was like, I'm just not clicking with her at all.
No, this is during COVID?
This was this January.
Okay, so it was all telehealth then?
Yes. Yeah. I love telehealth. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Why?
Oh, man.
Just convenience?
Yes.
You know,
100%.
My therapist said that it's like 30% have gone back to in-person. The rest of them are still telehealth because of the convenience.
Yeah.
I'm like, I get it. And I'm a convenience guy, but I don't know. I just don't, the energy's not there for me. Like,
it's so true.
Which is surprising for me because I like all that tech stuff. And even before COVID, we had BetterHelp as a sponsor. BetterHelp?
BetterHelp.
I did say it right the first time.
Great job.
Yeah. Well, we did have them as a sponsor. Is it as bad as saying that you guys fixed Teslas?
We don't fix Teslas. We would love to.
I fixed that on the next episode.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I didn't post it on social, but I said, just for everyone, they don't. I didn't know that. For some reason in my head, when you added the EV, I was like, oh, sweet. But
I wish.
There's a lot more EVs than just Tesla. Just Tesla. But anyways. I totally lost my train of thought. Oh, telehealth. Yeah. And we had them as a sponsor and then I started doing it. And I'm like, I'm not feeling the connection I feel like in person. Like even Ben says, when we do remote interviews with people, he hates them because he will get distracted and he'll do stuff on his computer or look at Facebook. I know he's looking at other stuff when we're talking to people. And I get it. I sometimes do too, especially if the guest is kind of
boring.
Not boring, because I don't want to insult anyone, but we've had a few that have been a little weird. But when you're in the room, you can just feel the energy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Even you can feel it if it's bad or good. Right. You know what I mean? So.
And you can't really read the room when you're virtual.
No. No. And some people do virtual interviews with no camera.
Oh.
Like a phone call. I'm like, you really can't read the room then. You're constantly interrupting.
Can't see anything.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So he was doing the telehealth thing this January.
Yep. And his meds all kicked in and he's good to go. Everything. We are good. We are back to normal.
Yeah.
Whatever our normal is.
Right.
But that med change is something that I don't feel like a lot like people talk about when you have to change meds. When you've been on them for so long, that is awful.
It is.
Because you have to wean down to the one.
And then you have to build back up. So it feels like you have to go through withdrawal symptoms coming off of something. And then you have to build slowly back up. So it just feels like you have no, like there's nothing there in the meantime.
Yeah. Why can't they like slowly build up while you're weaning off the other one?
I don't know that they didn't.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I can't remember.
Some meds probably can't do that and some can. I don't know. I added a second med and I just slowly added it with the full dose of my other one.
Yeah.
And it seemed to be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you. My daughter had to spend time at an inpatient facility just for the purposes of making it through the med change. Because it can be intense and it can be, I mean, for an adult, like, I know for me, even in changing meds or decreasing or increasing whatever, I would get these horrible brain zaps, like those moments of ping, like, and it just interrupts everything. You lose your train of thought. It was happening while I was driving. I'm like, okay, this is just not safe right now.
I still don't know what he means by a brain zap.
Oh, I do. Like, it's like an electrocution in your brain, and it kind of makes you a little bit dizzy there for a second. It's a real thing.
Oh, yes. I'm sure it is.
It is awful.
Hmm.
And it makes you feel like you're like
losing
about
it.
I was like, yeah. Oh, hey, I just had a stroke. That's a stroke. That's what that was.
You
oh,
feel wow. entirely out of control because
for like a few seconds.
Yeah, because your brain is it's dependent on this chemical. You're not giving it to your brain anymore. So it's sending a message like, hey, feed me, feed me, feed me. I'm going to zap you until you give me what I want. And it's very altering. And that was the worst for me. And it was, I know I'm going to go to my safe space and say this next sentence, but it was traumatic. Like that experience of the brain zaps and not being able to control them, predict them, know when they're happening. Like, I'm with you. Med changes are the worst.
Mm-hmm. And there's not much you can do about it. If you got to change a med, you got to do it. You just got to suck it up and try to get through it. But so he goes through the med change. Yep. And then.
So in this time while he's doing therapy, I had been seeing my own therapist last summer, worked through some good stuff, but then she just kind of like vanished. I could never make another.
Weird.
And you know what? I was like, you know what? That means like this wasn't meant to be. And it's fine. And I just kind of let it go. But then through all of Brian's stuff and having to like deal with kids at school and COVID and doing all the normal things that we do, we really realized that we are terrible at communication. I mean, we're very bad at it. Yeah. I'm probably bad at communication with everyone. He's pretty good about it. Like at work, he's a very effective communicator. We just don't do it well together.
How do you feel like you're a bad communicator just with him or in general?
No, I'm a bad communicator.
Hmm. But you're such a outspoken, have fun, social. I feel like that's how you are.
Well, just because I say a lot of things doesn't mean
there's a lot of substance behind it.
Well, and that's it. So we started going to therapy together. We call it communication class. Ah. Like that's what we call it because he grew up in a family where there was yelling, and I grew up in a family where I still have not seen my parents fight.
Hmm.
I mean, they've been married for, I don't know, 35 years, and I've not seen them fight. I've seen them frustrated with each other, but I've never seen them like raise their voices at each other or anything like that. So we kind of came from the two extremes. Brian came from a loud family, so he shuts down when there is conflict, and I get louder because I'm like, why aren't we talking? What's happening? So we have had to like work together to figure out how to communicate well.
Mm.
And we have been going weekly since probably May.
Wow.
Okay. Weekly?
Uh-huh.
Damn, girl. That's good work.
That's intense.
So, I mean, we hit that deductible right away. So that's helpful.
Yeah, I feel like my story with around relationship, maybe the communication, we're at the same point with my wife, Megan. We didn't get to that the same way you guys did, but it's definitely that's what we're struggling with. Like I'm not going to say we're great parents, but when we come together to parent, we're great. We communicate. We don't undermine each other, those kind of things. But when it came to us, you know, Megan, same thing. I came from a loud home and I continue to be loud. I don't get quiet like Brian. And Megan came from a home where she didn't see her parents fight either. And so there's no conflict resolution. Yeah. So over time, we've been married. I think it'll be, I'm terrible. We were married in 06 of October. 15. I was going to say 16. Years. So, and we were together 2 years before that. So we've been together a long time and grown a lot. But what's happening to us is we're both going to therapy. So where I used to lean on her because I came from a broken home and I didn't know how to do anything. Now we're both just doing this, you know, people can't see it, but just parallel lines. And to some point where I'm even going this way, like, I don't need you anymore. Like, I don't say that, but I'm like, I got this. And I find myself being more wanting to be alone.
Sounds like me.
Not that bad.
Hang on.
I don't sit in dark rooms.
When you say you like, I don't need you anymore. Are you talking to your therapist or your wife?
Oh, I'm sorry. My wife.
Oh,
my bad. Yeah, I know. Not that they say I don't need her for my emotional well-being.
You don't need her like you needed her before.
Correct.
You need her.
Of course.
But in a very different context.
Yeah. So. And instead of us leaning in together, you know, we're kind of, and Megan's getting better too. She would always be like, try to be the fixer or whatever. And now she's like, I don't need to fix this. And so we're just going straight up and down. So Yes, got to communication issues in a different way, but kind of similar where mm-hmm. we're at right now. So mm-hmm. how has it been going between you two as far as what are you working on? I'm curious.
It's hard. Just having conversations and like, you know, like reflecting back on what we say and clarifying and like
yeah,
not throwing things in. And I am the fixer. I am the fixer. Brian shuts down. I am the people pleaser.
Mm.
So I am constantly trying to fix things when I can't.
Whereas, it's not your responsibility, mm-hmm. try to fix other people's feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't control how other people feel.
That's very hard for me.
It's very hard for my wife, too. Yeah. Like, that's mm-hmm. what she tries to do.
Yeah, it's ridiculously hard. So he and I, and our therapist name is Sam, we work so hard to have effective communication. We are not great at it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we both see things like every week. We're like, oh, look at that. Like, we didn't even have to go to therapy to do that one. Yeah. So while it seems excessive that we go once a week and have been for the majority of the year, like, it's making a difference.
It's mm-hmm. got to be.
Absolutely.
I yeah. mean, and you guys are able once a week. Like, well, so ours are all cash. We don't have any insurance mm-hmm. with that. We have insurance, but it's a long story. Well, I'm sure you've heard how much I hate Priority Health, but I'll cut that out. Maybe not.
Don't.
So going.
You have to cut that out. Doesn't she work for Spectrum?
Yeah, who cares?
It's all the same company.
No, Spectrum owns Priority Health.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That's the problem.
You should cut that out.
The FTC should have stepped in and said, this is weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A hospital should not own an insurance company. Right. But anyways, I digress. Us going every week, I mean, it'd be $150 a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's up.
And we're already going to our own therapist that we pay cash for. So, I mean, we could find a couple. Well, couples therapy, they don't cover couples therapy. Does your insurance company cover it? Or is one of them the primary, one of you the primary patient with Sam?
I don't honestly okay. know. Yeah. I don't have a clue.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. most insurance companies don't cover
it would still be
counseling.
Worth it. I still think it would be worth
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
But that being said, I don't think going every week is excessive. I'm actually jealous about it because we could get more work done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
definitely.
Yeah, and it's like even though I come out most of the time crying, happy or sad, like I'm going to cry every single time. I just cry. And that makes Brian very uncomfortable. So yes, that's one of the things he's working on is like dealing with like me and my crying.
That's interesting. I've gone the full spectrum, like because Megan's a crier too.
Yeah.
Like that's how she shows her emotion. I went from like, oh, you're doing that just to uh-huh. get it to not even making a reaction mm-hmm. to not care anymore to trying to say, oh, is this cry or is this cry?
And it's sometimes it's just freaking crying.
Yep.
The and body it just comes just out. It just does it.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's not my fault. I was made this way.
I know. I was just thanking God in general.
Right. Thanks for the crying.
And that's hard for him is when I'm crying because a lot of people don't see happy cries when they're growing up and like we just happy cry all the time. So anyways, the crying is a little hard for him sometimes. But it is my absolute favorite hour of the week. And I don't know if that's because like it's time just for us because it's not fun.
No, it's work.
To go to couples.
It's totally
counseling.
Work.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's not like we're going to go in and be like, we did so great on this, and this. You can go in and start that way. And then, you know, they're going to find something and you're going to have to work on it. So, but it continues to be my favorite time of the week.
How are each of your brains as far as things that you're working on to be tangible? So for like me, I would need to work on these three things. Is that something that resonates with you or you know what I'm talking about? Like, okay, you go into class, you go into therapy and you're like, she wants you to, you know, like Megan and I check in every Monday now.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually created that ourselves. Thank you very much. Haven't missed.
It's impressive.
Have not missed. I am freaking proud of that. So I'm going to say it. But does Sam do that like tangible things or is it just kind of like, wow, when this comes up, because that's a problem. They give you talk about these situations, right, and these tools, and then you go for a month and nothing happens that you can use it. But then the month comes, it's a month away, and you forget what she told you, and then you screw up.
Yeah. No, I don't know that she's ever said, like, hey, like, we're going to do this week.
Okay.
Like, usually it's, like, one thing. And so, like, we'll just focus on it.
But you know what I mean by tangible? Like, we're going through a book. Mm-hmm. We're going through Benet. Brené Brown's I'm doing it again, Ben. I'm forgetting it, and then it pops into my head.
You just did this before.
Yeah, I know. I'm an idiot. But anyways, we're going through her book, one of her books. And so that, to me, that's tangible. That's something I can like do physically, I guess, and not just emotionally.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't care about that. No.
No, Brian doesn't care about that either.
I don't think so. I don't. I'll ask him.
You should.
I will ask him. Nice. But yeah, so we see Sam once a week, and then he has his own therapist that he sees. And then I also have my own therapy. So we all spend a lot of money on therapy.
Oh, man.
So
that's great.
It's great money to spend, but.
Yeah, it is worth it. Mm-hmm. It really is worth it. But yeah, it is, especially when you get no insurance. Freaking.
No kidding. So insurance isn't the only issue with seeking help. There's also, I don't know if you've encountered it, Megan, but there's also stigma that you have to get through. Mm-hmm. Like this idea of, if I go to therapy, then I'm not blank enough. I'm not good enough, or I don't have what it takes. And so it's like, not only are those insurance and financial constraints limiting, but then once those are worked out, that sometimes you have to work out the whole stigma aspect. Have you experienced that in your experience, or as Brian, what does stigma look like for you guys, and did you have to overcome it?
So I had none.
Awesome.
Like really, since the time I was young, you know, my parents found out that I had ADHD, she went to therapy and I went to therapy.
Yeah.
And then she was like, oh, you're good. Didn't really have a great experience, obviously, around that whole Pine Rest inpatient thing. Mm-hmm. And bouncing back from that, like, it was kind of like I re-met people. Because I was on a whole load of medicine. So kind of having to go back and explain that, or
if, like, you acted like different than you maybe would have been as a.
Well, and I don't remember any of it.
That's true.
Like, I remember nothing. Mm. And so, like, that kind of part of it is a little bit. Well, it's sad to me that I lost a huge chunk of time. However, I still feel like it was something that had to be done.
Sure. Well, like my therapist always says, part of your story.
Yeah, it is. It is part of the story, and it got me to where I am, and I'm here. And so obviously medications did the job that they had to do. And that part of the mental health stigma story, that's hard for me because I was just like so medicated.
Right.
I don't know if I got pushback. I have no idea. But yeah. I'm sure, like, if I was posting stuff on Facebook or. I'm sure that there were things that people were like, ugh, but I didn't notice it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and even now, I really try not to do the thing where you only post great things about yourself on social media, especially now things are so hard.
No kidding.
It's nuts out there. It's crazy.
Well, and that's like where I'm struggling right now with just where things are.
Yeah.
And how I'm feeling about things. And it's giving me a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
Like talking myself into coming today. I wanted to come. I wanted to be here. You're both vaccinated. I have a son with asthma. So, like, that's where we are. We were vaccinated. They were going to wear masks no matter what to school. Or they were going to stay at home until they could be vaccinated.
Right.
That's just what we were going to have to do to take care of them. But then I have to think about it. Like, is this the right thing to do? Should I be going over there?
Yeah.
Like,
and then we would have been fine if you said no.
Well, no, I know you would have been fine with it. But the logical part of me says, like, Megan, you go places with people and you sit inside with people who are vaccinated regularly. It is okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to do. And even though things are changing, it's still a lot. And I have friends who aren't vaccinated. And I have had to say, like, we're just not doing things with unvaccinated people inside.
Okay.
And that's hard for me to do.
How is that? I know I don't want to get too much of a digression on that, but how has that gone, that conversation?
I would say probably not well.
Yeah.
But like, I have a great group of friends and we all have different thoughts and opinions on everything. And that's fine.
Yeah, you do. You would take COVID out of the discussion. You would anyways. That's just.
And so,
human beings.
Right. So Brian and I just had to make a choice of what are we going to do and how are we going to do it? So in a group text, I just said, this is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of how it is. And I think it really made one of my friends upset.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up telling me about it and we were able to talk about it. And so It has nothing to do with how I feel about them and the choice that they are making.
Of course.
That's their body, their choice, right. their whatever.
Yep.
But my family can't be inside around people who are unvaccinated at the moment. That's what the pulmonologist told us to do for our son's health.
Yeah.
So it's been hard.
Yeah.
And I feel like things aren't normal with a lot of people right now anyways. But I mean, that's kind of, it's hard to have things the way that we all want them to be. Anyways. Yeah. So it's hard to be a friend right now. It's hard to be a parent because I do want to respect choices everybody is making, even if I don't agree with them. And I need to remember that I don't agree with maybe their choice for my family, but they might not agree with my choice for their family. We're all different.
Yeah.
And that's.
But the problem is a lot of people don't have the same attitude that you and I and Ben, I assume, have about. I'm fine if you don't get it, mm-hmm. but these are the consequences.
Exactly.
Whatever that is, meaning maybe getting sick, maybe passing away. I don't know. I hate to say that, but I mean, it's just like, I respect that you didn't do it, but.
Well, I'm not going to go that far just because I don't ever want to think about anybody else getting sick or dying from COVID because my other friend's dad came off a ventilator, thank God.
Ugh.
But like, there was too many people too sick.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about like right here, right now.
Okay.
And keeping like just the choices we're making with our
yeah.
family. I don't want to go any further because my brain can't handle
right.
it. So I'm
right.
like, okay, hard stop. We're done.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's been hard to try to figure out how to be a good friend when we're making different choices.
Right.
Well, it sounds like most people have respected those kind of things, but that's got to cause extra anxiety to actually even send those kind of messages out.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if people should just respect other people. And
well, and it just felt like something I should say out loud in front of like this whole group of people.
Yeah.
So that everybody knew up front. And that was fine. So.
Hmm.
Well, that sucks. I hate all this.
Yeah. I know.
I'm not going to lie.
It's just exhausting.
We're actually, after your episode, we're actually recording a banked episode about COVID.
Oh, are you?
I thought about including you, but then I was like, because you and I kind of are on the same page, maybe a little different, but for the most part, I think we are.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I was like, well, two reasons. A, it's going to cause her a bunch of anxiety. And B, she has to represent a business,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want, I can, even him sometimes, even this last episode, he's like, hey, I'm feeling a little weird about something I said on the show. And I hate that. I respect it. And for him, I definitely would cut it out. He didn't eventually thought about it, but I don't want you have to be like home, like replaying it through your head and going like, yeah, no, I said some things that I do not want to go out. So that's why we didn't include you
on
that.
Well, that's okay.
But. It's tough all around.
COVID itself doesn't give me the anxiety that it used to.
That's good.
It is the...
The actual, like, getting it?
No, yeah. So, like, that like, part isn't as scary to me as it was, though I know what can happen. But it's the choices that I have to make for other people.
Right.
I have never had that
right.
before. Like, I've always made choices for my kids' health. But now it just feels so much different and so much bigger.
And you're like, you feel like you're being judged for the choices you're making for your family.
Well... And that's fine with me because no matter what, we're going to be judged for what we're doing, even though I really don't think it's anybody else's opinion on what we
exactly.
do with our family. But, you know, just making sure that we're doing the right thing. Am I overreacting? Am I doing too much?
Oh, I see.
Like, am I absolutely crazy and just going off my anxieties about keeping them safe? Then I have to look it back and say, no, you talked with the doctor's office.
Right.
You yeah. talked with them and you're doing what they said is good for him. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And that's just where we come from and that's where we sit. And, you know, if other people don't have all the junk that we do with it.
Right.
They
for
don't
sure.
have the history of family members passing away or asthma
yeah, that,
and those kinds of things.
That like, totally flips the script.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why. You've seen, oh God, no, I'm hard stopping. I'm hard stopping on this. On COVID.
Anyways, that's where a lot of my like making decisions around
yeah.
COVID has been a big anxiety situation for me.
Mm. Yeah.
So. But yeah. I think that's probably a lot of people. So
yes.
I try to be open about it. And
right.
like, it's okay if we disagree. Like, let's just still be kind humans.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to be at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how you get through things. So speaking of stuff that can be overwhelming, whether it's COVID or otherwise, or a conversation with your husband that doesn't go as well as maybe you wanted it to, or kids are being kids and making poor decisions. I'll be honest. One of the things I really struggle with in life is when stuff like that happens, especially if it comes in like twos or threes and things are just not great, I have the tendency to just kind of shut down and pull away and be short with people. So I'm just curious. Yeah, right. What does that look like for you? How do you deal with those days that are just so overwhelming? What gets you through?
Noise canceling headphones.
Nice.
Number one.
Really?
Yes. And when I was talking earlier about kind of full circle with ADHD and getting back to figuring out what exactly this does, being overwhelmed, sensitivity to sounds that I didn't know was a thing. And just kind of learning more about myself, I'm like, okay, there is so much going on. And like, I just need to just take a step back. And Brian will even say, like, put your headphones in. Wow. And so like, I'll pop them in and then everybody else is gone and I can do what I need to do. But like hearing different devices in different rooms and everybody is happy. Everybody's doing.
Yeah. Nothing's going on.
Nothing going on, but it's all so much to me and it happens regularly. So like taking noise out of the,
the stimulus.
Yes. Like just taking that out is very helpful to me. And that happens more often than I would like it to. First thing in the morning, it could happen when the kids are up and like running around, getting ready for school. Just too much for me. Or like as soon as I walk in the door, I walk in after work, because they have been home for a while. And Brian probably was working until, he has to work until at least 4:30. So,
right, yeah.
You know, then all of a sudden everybody needs everything.
And yeah, they've been home. Yeah. The kids have been home for an hour on their own. And then you come home like,
yeah,
explosions.
So the sound thing is hard for me. And that just is kind of that will make me erupt. Like I'll be done for the entire day. But as far as just feeling overwhelmed with other stuff, I think that talking with my friends about it is a very good place to go. One of my friends sent me a text and she was like, hey, I know that you have a lot going on and you were at this bachelorette party for over the weekend and da da da. And she goes, but like, are we cool? Are we okay?
Oh.
And I was so thankful that she asked me that. And I was like, yeah, like this whole mask thing, no mask thing at school, and like kind of how like it has divided a lot of people has been a lot for me. And I've just kind of stayed off my phone. I just haven't been talking as much to other people. And she cared enough to be like, hey, like, are we okay? Like, what's happening? And I really appreciated that she did that for me, because I guess I do kind of close down, which is not something I would have thought that I did. But just even if I only talk to people in text conversations, by not reaching out and talking with people, I guess is a way that I am shutting down.
Yeah, texting is not the same as it. I appreciate when people check in via text, but it's not the same like we're having a conversation face to face. Like we go back to the therapy, the energy around it isn't there. Did you find, going back to the noise thing, have you found that through therapy, this is something that you realized, like, because, you know, we all are trying to find our quote unquote triggers, where I am too, physically or environmentally, that before I lose it, you know what I mean? Like what's happening to my body? Is that something that you worked on and that's why you're like, oh, this has really been helpful? Or are you just...
No, I just noticed.
Oh, you just noticed.
Yes. Okay. But I'm able to look at Brian now and say, hey, I'm going to lose my shit. Yeah. And I really need you to take this.
That's huge.
That's so good.
To communicate that.
And I usually don't say it nicely, because I usually wait too long. So I'm going to take it. I'll be fine. I'm going to be fine. It's going to be fine. No big deal. And then I'm like, I'm going to lose it. So could you just please help me? And it works out and everything. He's like, put your headphones in. It's fine.
You'll get to the point, and I hope I do too. Meds have helped.
Yeah.
That you not right to the brink, that you're like 10 seconds before that. And then 30 seconds and then 5 minutes, you're like, oh, I see this coming. But that's really cool that you were able to verbalize that with him.
Yeah. Well, and when my friend called, we actually FaceTime each other a lot. And through COVID, even like when she was working or like I'm at home getting stuff done or working from home, we would just sit on FaceTime with each other. We didn't even have to talk to each other. We were just there.
Yeah.
You just had somebody there. And every once in a while, like you'd say something.
So you just do your chores, but it would just be on.
Yeah.
Like in the kitchen.
Just
or
in my ear. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So like we hadn't done that in like a week. And she's like, hey, like, what's up? Are you okay?
A week.
Yeah. Right? It's like it's weird that that kind of had become our standard thing. Yeah. But that's kind of how we were able to struggle through a lot of the COVID crap. Sure. Was together.
Yeah.
Together apart.
Yeah.
That's so amazing.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to hear Ben for hours on end on FaceTime.
What would? Yeah, I know. I'd be so boring because I don't say anything.
Yeah. You sit in the dark.
Sometimes.
Well, see, but Ben might not be the right person because if Ben's not going to say anything ever and he wants to be alone.
Yeah.
Whereas I really enjoy being with other people.
It's true. Yeah.
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 Yeah. That makes sense. So, and she's like that too then?
Probably not as much as I am.
Yeah.
But.
Well, nobody's as you. Intense as you.
Nice.
I say that with love. Not,
I know.
Not,
I know.
Not,
I know.
Okay. All right.
So with the COVID, we've hit on quite a bit. We've hit on the mental health piece. Usually there's some interplay when you bring in the faith card. Now, I don't know what it's like for your family, but I imagine with you being one who needs connection and that sort of thing, what role did church or faith or all of that play in the midst of the COVID craziness and the craziness of dealing with your mental health?
You assume that she goes to church and is a Christian.
I mean, I've seen her post.
I know, like, I'm just teasing.
Well, I'm definitely a Christian. We didn't go to church. We have not gone back to church yet.
Okay.
And the place that we were going.
Oh, yeah. Well, you and I had a conversation about this, didn't
yes,
we?
Yes. I don't.
Don't say it if you don't want to.
They went back without masks. And that was what it was. But that means that we didn't go back.
Right.
However, there was a space for people with masks. But that felt like a whole weird situation.
Yeah, it's like the leper colony or something. Well, you over there with the mask.
Yeah, that's weird. You either got to do one or the other.
I mean, I never went, so I'm not going to say like if it was good or bad.
Yeah. Sure.
I can't judge it. But we were also going through a lot of other stuff at the exact same time. So we didn't go. I would live stream every now and then, probably not enough. But you know,
not the same.
No, it's
no
not
energy.
It's not the same to watch church online. It's just not. No. So we haven't gotten to a place where we feel like church hunting because that is overwhelming. It is overwhelming. Yes. To find new churches. I've talked to Jason a few times.
Yeah.
About his church. And I'm like, you know, what's going on there? And I think that it would be fine if we went back to the other place and wore masks. However, that kind of puts us in that whole other space of like being in places with unvaccinated people where our family is not sitting currently. So it's not great. Things aren't great.
It's so hard.
Spiritually.
Just for an example for our church. So we lean, I shouldn't say we. It leans left. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm bringing up politics with religion, which is the bane of Ben's existence. But it's just the reality of it. You know what I mean?
It feels especially that way right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were hyper focused on the masks, everything, and our numbers were tink, tink, tink. Money, tink, tink, is going down, right? Mm-hmm. So it was rough. I mean, it still is rough. So I actually went to church today for production. We've only been one time, and that was when the numbers were like zilch. I mean, you remember when they were like less than 1% in Grand Rapids? I'm like, all right, baby, we're back. You know what I mean?
And it didn't last long.
So I think we went twice as a family. So I was going to production today and I was wondering, I actually went to the website and I was like, what's going on with masks? Like, I didn't even know. I actually had one in my pocket.
Yeah.
Walk in, not a soul with a mask on. Hmm. And it surprised me because they have been so hyper-focused on safety. I think they're worried about losing more people.
Yeah.
They're not going to implement it again. I don't think they're going to.
Did you feel like you should wear a mask and that's why you brought it?
So here's my stand on the mask. Now, I did get COVID.
Right.
From probably not wearing a mask in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at the mask as if it's not, if the place that I'm going is not asking me to wear one,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to wear one.
Okay.
But I should have in Nashville. Now they were suggesting. It was not a law. It was not a mandate. It was not any of it. I should have.
Mm-hmm.
And I pride myself on an F you. I don't care what you think. But I actually fell into some peer pressure in Nashville. The guy I went with didn't wear a mask. Didn't ask me to. We didn't even talk about it. But if he would have put a mask on, I would have. But mm-hmm. he didn't, so I didn't.
Gotcha.
But why didn't I? I was around thousands of people. I mean, we were in huge, huge conference rooms.
And sitting close to each other.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. he didn't get COVID, by the way. We sat next to each other every class we went to. We stayed in the same Airbnb. We ate the same meals together. He didn't get it. So my point is with the mask, I brought it with me because if that was the rule and we were all doing masks again, I'd be like, okay, I'll do a mask. It doesn't really bother me.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm sad that the church, I know they're not doing it because they're worried about numbers. So now they're being influenced by money.
Yeah.
Maybe.
By attendance.
Attendance. And there was, I mean, I saw maybe one mask in church wow. today.
The reason I asked you that is because Ben kept his in his pocket last week. So.
Yes.
Or whenever that was.
Yeah, when he was going with his family.
Yes. So yeah. that's why to. I asked why you even brought it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want, I mean, again, if everyone or 3/4 of the people were in masks, I would have thrown a mask on. But I walked in and again, the worship leader, very, very focused on COVID. She was not masked up.
Hmm.
So I was basing it kind of on that. And yeah. I feel bad because I'm like, man, I probably should. This is a big place with a lot of people. I don't know. I feel guilty now
that
I
did it.
I know.
You shouldn't feel guilty. You're vaccinated, and they say that's what you can do.
Yeah, it's different now. Delta says F you about the vaccination.
That's true.
You know what I mean? I was vaccinated, and I got it.
Yep.
See, this is why my brain is like, meh.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of my anxiety, and we're totally getting off board, but just to wrap this part up, is the internet. The internet should be deleted right now. Can we delete it for 6 months?
But can we still have TikTok?
Can't.
And podcasts.
But I super love TikTok.
I know, I do too.
We need a reset. I mean,
we need a reset. We need like a 6 month, like cut the internet off for 6 months. We're all going to come back and we're going to try again.
I think the world would be a much better place if everybody just turned off their internet for a day. Let's just do a day. I mean, that would be revolutionary enough.
Yeah. Mm.
I'm just deleting Facebook off my phone right now. Like there's,
you know, I did it. Yeah. I did it for about early COVID. I did it for about 6 or 8 months and just went to the browser mm-hmm. when I like, so it was work.
Right.
Like I had to like log in and all that shit. It went so far down, like it tracked my time. It was like almost nothing.
Well, what date is it today? So 29th. We'll see how far we get.
Nice. No, I used it on the desktop.
Yes.
When I was working on podcasting. Mm-hmm. Like the only reason I keep Facebook, honestly, is for the podcast brands because people listen on most of our community is on Facebook. I mean, if you look the last time I actually posted an actual without sharing threads or whatever, it's probably been nothing. You know what I mean? Because I just don't do it anymore.
I like Facebook and like I didn't do baby books for my kids, so I can't get rid of it.
You know, you're right. The memories are incredible you're right.
Can't get rid of them.
Yeah.
It's true.
Anyways. So back to your church. You haven't gone back yet. You don't know if you're going to go back to that church, but it's incredibly hard to hunt for churches right now because of COVID. It's hard without COVID.
Well, and it feels like it's just so much work to find a church, right? So I can go off things people say and then hope for the best, but I don't know that we're in a place that we want to show up to a church right now anyways, mask or unmasked. Just take that part out of the equation of what they are requiring. I mean,
you almost have to send an email and be like, hey, so again, back to the mask thing, like, where do you stand on this? No? Okay, cool. I'm out. Or, okay, cool. I'm in. Like,
well, and you know what? It should be such a big priority. It feels like it should be one of my top priorities is to find our faith set, like find the home that we should be at, that we go meet our people.
Yeah.
And that just feels so damn overwhelming.
Yeah. It's one more thing.
Yeah. Like, and I just can't do it right now.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
So, and that makes me sad.
You feel guilty?
Yeah, like I'm almost going to cry right now. I feel really sad about that. But at the same time, I can't put anything else on my plate.
No.
So
you got to do what you got
to
do.
Yeah. So we'll just keep listening to praise and worship at home. Just try to keep our kids in a good spot and, you know, explain the things that we need to explain to them, you know, keep them on the right path. And we'll get there.
Yeah.
It's just not, It's just not right now.
Yeah, it's tough. I struggle with my faith. I connect when I go to church. I'm stronger in my faith, which is duh.
Well, obviously. Right. That's why we go, right?
Yeah, to kind of reset and re-energize with that. And yeah, it's been a real struggle for me too. So what do you think?
And Ben goes twice a day. So
yeah,
it's
he's going for all of us.
I don't recommend that.
Remember back in the day, did you...
No, we had fun while you guys were going to church twice a day.
Oh, was it? We probably talked about this. My gosh, it was like morning and night. We couldn't mow the lawn. We couldn't go to Meijer. We couldn't do any of that stuff.
Listen, we went to church and then we came home and we would mow the lawn and we would play outside. And all
the devotees must have like blown a gasket.
They, you know, there were some Protestant Reform people behind us.
Oh, goodness.
The sports?
Yes, them.
Them.
Which I met one of their kids recently. It's super nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Most of them turned out good. I don't know. But, you know, you're
kind of a different family.
But like, so we were the ones that mowed the lawn in the neighborhood. We were Lutherans. And then, you know, we had Christian Reform Row like everywhere around us. So we would be playing outside and it was not weird to look over at a friend's house and see people looking out the window like while you're playing.
Mm. Now, as I got older, that those rules loosened in our home. And I think my dad even started mowing the lawn on Sundays. In a pinch. Mm-hmm. Like if we had a busy weekend or whatever, or busy week, he couldn't get it done. But yeah, which is hilarious, by the way. Like we live this strict life, and meanwhile, it's a shit show in the background.
Yeah. Like listen, it bugged. I was like, oh, what is happening in your family?
Well, the shitty, well, yeah, especially with the revelations, revelations that we've had in the last, you know, year, how much crazy stuff was going on, but that's for a different day. But, well, Megan, thank you so much for coming on, and I just love talking to you. I know we were going to get together this year, and then the numbers started creeping up again, and you never texted me back like a jerk. So, no, I'm just kidding.
I'm terrible at that. If I don't answer right away, then it's not happening.
It's funny. She was like, hey, you want to go to the pool. You guys do the membership at Sunnybrook. She's like, is that a you thing or a Megan thing? So I'll leave it on me because I never responded back.
Oh, that's not my fault.
But
then.
Yeah, it's normally me. I'm the scheduler of the family. Yeah, we do need to, once this stuff is all over with, hang out.
Absolutely.
So, but no, this has been fun. Maybe we just need to interview our friends on our show to get them over. Like, that's right? How we have to do it.
I think you should.
Sounds like a neat idea. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for listening to another episode of Threads Podcast, Life Unfiltered. We challenge you to keep the faith, do your work, and dare to be uncomfortable. Thanks for listening.